But there's people all over the world that watch this and that listen to this. I mean, and we're not trying to be famous for that. We just want to help people. We just want to get the truth out there and tell people. Well, this one topic tonight, this is going to start tonight, but it's not going to finish tonight. We're just going to get through drunkenness tonight and talk about what the Bible says about drunkenness. But then we're going to get into, on Sunday, we're going to get into the age-old excuse of well, Jesus made wine, so it's okay for us to get, for us to drink. No, it isn't, and Jesus didn't make alcoholic wine. He did not make alcohol. That's going to be proven, by the way, through the Scriptures. I'm going to prove that. And then I'm also going to prove the fact that why would God tempt you with something that He didn't even want you to handle or look upon? Now, I'm also going to be honest with you and show you what the Bible does say about alcohol. What the Bible does say, that there are two instances in the Scriptures where there's a positive use for alcohol. And now we're not going to touch on that tonight, but we will touch on that on Sunday, where there's a positive use. But here's a clue. You're not the administrator of it. Somebody else is. Why is that? Well, just like you wouldn't be the administrator of Vicodin, right? You're not just going to, anytime you want, you just don't go buy Vicodin wherever you want to, right? And prescribe it to yourself and say, well, I think I need this. So what are you getting at? Well, what I'm saying is there's a portion of Scripture that talks about giving strong drink or giving wine to somebody for medicinal purposes. Now, we don't have to use that now because we have all those things. We have probably better things now. Not to say that it would, I mean, if you had a gunshot, you were shot with something, they're going to sterilize it because alcohol sterilizes. We're going to get into that on Sunday. But alcohol sterilizes. But also, if we're going to dig that bullet out of your arm, you ain't going to let us do that. Sober. Right? So what do they do now? Now they shoot you with something so that it numbs everything. Or they put you to sleep and then they do it. Right? They have anesthesiologists that do those kind of things. They give you a local. They do all that. Well, guess what? Back in Bible times, they didn't have people walking around needles with anesthesiologists that were walking around doing that. You know, so there's a little bit of difference there. So I'm going to explain that to you. But here's the key that you understand that you're not the one that really administers that. You're not the one that says, well, I think I need it. I'm feeling kind of depressed, so I think I need a bottle of Jack Daniels. No, that's not what the Bible says. If you try to use that as an excuse, then you're lying to God and you're lying to yourself. And you need to get right with God. Okay? But anyway, that's for Sunday. It's important to cover this word wine in the Bible and to understand that because I'm telling you, I hate drunkenness. I hate it because I've seen what it does to people. How it destroys lives. And when I say drunkenness, I mean drugs or alcohol. It doesn't matter what it is. Okay, either one. Drugs or alcohol. Whether it's, right, altered state, whether it's acid or you're tripping or you're whatever. That's all the same thing. That's all the same type of a situation. I hate it. Because God hates it. And I'm going to show you in the Bible what God says. There's a lot of verses here, so we got to take off here. But there's a lot of verses that talk about drunkenness. A lot of verses that deal with it in the Bible. So let's pray, and then we'll get into this. Father, we need you. Lord, I just pray that this would help someone out there, Lord, that they would see the truth of drunkenness in the Bible, what the Bible forbids it. It says not to even look upon it, Lord. Says to stay away from it. Dear God, help us to obey your word. Help us to share this with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, there are actually pastors out there that have breweries and churches now. They have breweries and churches. And they hand out, and there are pastors that actually send out shot glasses. They actually send out shot glasses for members. That's something. They'll hold meetings at taverns. They'll sit at restaurants and hold meetings at taverns. Now, the Bible has a name for these people, and I'll show you that in a little while here. But first I'm going to show you what the Bible says about drunkenness. And before somebody says this when they hear this, listen, this isn't a total study of alcohol at this point. This is just one message tonight, okay? This is one Bible study. So before you say this, well, yeah, the Bible forbids drunkenness, but it doesn't forbid drinking. Okay. Well, let me share something with you. God would not dangle a sin in front of your eyes or dangle something in front of your eyes that would lead you to sin and tell you to trust your own devices that you don't lose control of it. So, you know, God wouldn't say to you, well, you can have a little bit casually, all things in moderation, which, by the way, is the Lutheran verse, but it's not in the Bible. It's nowhere in the Bible. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. Not like that. Not in that context. But anyway, that's what we see today. That's what we hear about. You got pastors that are doing this, pastors that are a part of this, and Christians that justify drinking. You know, they justify it. You know, it's sad. It's sad. And pastors that don't try to help people out of it. And some people call it a sickness. No, it's called sin. It's just called sin. Let's stop making things up. It's sin. Anytime you and I get into something that's against God's law, it's sin. All right? Tonight it's alcohol, but we could be talking about anything, and it's still sin. Amen? So, understand that. That's exactly what it is. All right. At Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 21 is the first reference we really see. It says here, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. This is really the first time that we see alcohol in the Bible. This is the first time that we see it being used in the Scriptures, being talked about. And what do we see? We see a man, Noah, that became a husbandman. He got off of the ark, right? He got off of the ark, and what did he do? Man, he had a vineyard. Did Noah know what he was doing? Yeah, he knew what he was doing. Some people say, oh no, it was an accident. No, it wasn't an accident. Noah knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. He had a vineyard, and he got drunk. And he was uncovered in his tent. And what happened to him? Noah was naked in his tent. He was uncovered. Now, bingo, stop right there. That is the first time you ever see alcohol being used. And what is it connected to right away? Nakedness. It's connected to nudity right away. Now, is there anybody here that could say that they don't think that they don't understand that? That that's not the way it goes. Now, some of you may not have been in this world, and I thank God for that. I wouldn't want anybody to live like I lived. I'm not glorifying it. I hate it. It mars my conscience. It keeps me awake at night. I think about it. I hate it. I hate it. Remember that? Go back and listen to a sermon I preached called Burning an Image, Never to be Erased. See, that's like one of my life stories right there. Because there are so many images that I can't get out of my head that I wish I could get out of my head. Oh, how I wish I could. And that's why I see your sons and your daughters, and I preach with such zeal and vigor, and I put down every sin, and like the prophet Samuel did with Agag the king, I slay it in front of you, and stab it, and let it bleed to death right there, so you understand how wicked sin is, and what it will do to your conscience for the rest of your life. I do that because I don't want you to go through it. I don't want your children to go through it. I don't want them to live their lives like, I don't want them to have that where they can't get it out of their head. And that guilt. You say, haven't you been forgiven? Oh yeah, I've been saved, sanctified, washed in the blood. I'm born again. I know I've been forgiven. My sins have been forgiven. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It's a whole other story to forgive yourself and to forget it. It's a whole other story to try to get out of your head. But the first time we see this, what do we see? We see drunkenness, and he was uncovered in his tent. We see nakedness. Now, would a normal man that knew his sons were around everybody else, would he just lay around naked? course not. What did that to him? Drunkenness. You know, there's things that you would never do when you're not drunk. You know that. I mean, you that have drank liquor, you know what I'm talking about. There are so many things. You would never do that in a million years sober. Never. Wouldn't even think about it. Wouldn't even get yourself in a position to do that. But he cursed his own grandson because of it. You know, we always look at you know what's really funny I've noticed about this? Walk with me here for a second. Man, I wasn't planning on staying on this for this long. But I want you to think about this for a minute, okay? Noah is the one that got drunk. Noah is the one that was uncovered in his tent. Everybody always points to the one that got cursed as he was the most awful, most wickedest thing in the world. But everybody gives Noah, the drunk, a pass. How come we all do that? Why do we give Noah a pass? He was drunk. That wouldn't have happened if he wasn't drunk. If he was the man and he did what was right, that wouldn't have happened. Yeah. But he did it, didn't he? He was drunk. Genesis chapter 19, if you would. Genesis chapter 19 and verse number 30. Another instance here. But I'll tell you, it just comes back to haunt you when you start thinking about some of these things. It'll just come back to get you. Genesis chapter 19. And Lot went up, verse number 30, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. Drunkenness. Again, we see what drunkenness does. Now, no father in his right mind would ever even think about that. It would just repulse him. Amen. There's nothing but what happens. When liquor comes into that, when drunkenness comes into that, when drugs come into that, when the mind is distorted by that, anything can happen. You actually think Lot believed that he would ever be capable of doing something like that? No. No father would think that. I mean, that's crazy. But that's drunkenness. Again, what do you see here with drunkenness? What do you see? Genesis chapter 9 with Noah, what do you see? Drunkenness and nudity, nakedness. What do you see with Lot again? Drunkenness and fornication. Get the picture? This is what it leads to. But you know, now listen, let me say something to you here, because here's what some people say. Well, yeah, but I, you know, I could control myself with alcohol. Oh, I see. So you're a better man than Noah was. Better man than the righteous Lot. Better man than a lot of men in the Bible okay. So you trust your flesh that much. See, you shouldn't trust your flesh. You shouldn't trust fallen flesh. Why? Because it's your enemy. It works against you. Amen. That's right. That's why you can't use it. It works against you. So we see some of the same signs here with drunkenness. These things that come in with Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse number 20. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this is our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. a glutton and a drunkard. So the two go together, the gluttony and the drunkenness, it's going together here. It just leads you to understand the lifestyle of a man that is this. And gluttony is not always food either, by the way. There's more to that than what than meets the eye. Surfeiting is overeating, by the way. And you see that in the scriptures. But the talk of that is in there as well. And there's a whole other study there we can get into. But again, drunkenness. We see a problem here. Rebellion. You think maybe that drunkenness might have to be, he's a drunkard, might have to do with his rebellion. Yeah, oh yeah. I know a lot of people that get very rebellious and wicked when they get drunk. I mean, they wouldn't do that any other time. How many people get arrested? And man, these are good people in society pretty much. I mean, they're pretty good people. But they start drinking. And man, you see them on the news and they're mugshot. It's like, what? This person is a reputable. What happened? Liquor. They got drunk. They got drunk. But you got people today that want to flirt around with this stuff. You know, I have no patience for that because I have a grandma that was killed because of that. Yeah. She was just minding her own business, driving down the road one day on a back country road, and some guy came going about 75 miles an hour down a country road and just totally obliterated her car. Bodies flying out, death instantly. Why? I'm sure that guy thought he could handle it. Sure he thought he could. Wine is a mocker. We're going to talk about that too. It's a mocker. Deuteronomy 29 and verse number 6. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord your God. Now, it's interesting here, this verse. The reason why it's so interesting is because when they were in the wilderness, they didn't have corn and other things that they could, and grapes and all of that to make alcoholic beverages with. So what he's saying to them is he's saying, you have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink. You haven't had any of these things in the wilderness. I fed you. I gave it to you. So that you might know me, you've been away from those. So when somebody is a heavy drinker and they're into alcohol and liquor and they say that they know God, it perverts their theology. It perverts it a lot. They'll turn God into anything they want Him to be. Yeah, they'll turn it. He'll be anything they want Him to be. God will be to them. That's what they see it as. Deuteronomy 29. By the way, that shows you that there is an answer. And it's be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If you really think you're depressed and you need liquor and you're depressed and you need this, no, your real problem is you need to get to know God. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's what you need. Amen. You need filled with the Spirit. Deuteronomy 29 and verse number 19. And it come to pass when he heareth the words of this curse, that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. Walk in the imagination of mine heart. I can tell you this firsthand that this is true, because when you get into drinking alcohol, you get all kinds of sort of things in your head. And you'll follow the imaginations of your heart. And you'll do things that you never would think that you would possibly do. And it happens every day to people that drink, every day. 1 Samuel 1 and verse number 13. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken, which is very interesting because drunk people will talk to themselves. That's what the Bible is telling you, that most people, when they drink, they'll ramble on and they'll talk to themselves. And they'll say things that just don't make any sense. They're just rambling on for no reason at all. I mean, that's true. I've been on drugs and when I was lost and I did that, I just rambled on for no reason and just didn't have any rhyme or reason for doing it, just doing it. Why? Because that's what drunkenness does to you. That's what that does to you. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. She said, no, I'm not drunk. I'm just I'm praying, my lips are moving, but nothing's coming out. But I'm not drunk. It's interesting which you can see the contrast in the scriptures of things. You're going to see a few more here. In 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse number 36. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king, and Nabal's heart was merry with him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. You know, Nabal was a man that was a very wicked man. David had came to him, and he was drunk, and David's servants came to him and said, "Hey, you know, we protected your flocks, we kept you safe. Hey, would you give us some food? You know, we're starving. Would you help us?" No, you know, why should I give you anything? He got into a big angry, mean fit type thing. And the Bible calls him a son of Belial, that he was acting like a son of Belial. So David mounted up and was going to go. Well, the wife Abigail came and said, "No, David, don't do this. God's going to give you all of Israel one day, and he'll avenge your enemies. Don't you try to avenge him. You just let God do it. Here's some food. You know, sorry for the problems that you had." Well, Nabal was a drunk, and he went home, and when he had heard these things, Nabal fell back and he died. And his heart turned to stone, actually, is what the Bible says, which is very interesting. He had a hard heart and it turned to stone, it says, you do a study on that a little bit, it's kind of interesting. But he was a drunkard. Now, had he not been in that drunken stupor that whole time he was in, maybe when David would have came to him, he would have been like, "You know, usually when somebody does something nice for you, you try to return the favor." Well, sure, I understand. That's usually what people do. You know, if you've done something overly nice for them, you say, "Well, sure, if I've got this food, I can give it to you." But the drunkenness got him. You know, the drunkenness took him over. Just like it'll do any man that starts drinking, no matter who you are, you start drinking, you start getting into liquor, you're gonna find it's gonna consume you. It will take you over. And it affects your judgment, always. The Bible says it, I'll show you that. The Bible says it affects your judgment always. Always affects it. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse number 13. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed when his servants, his lord, but went not down to his house. And his servant Zimri, captain of half of his chariots, excuse me, I'm reading a different verse anyway. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 13, though David had gotten Uriah drunk. He wanted him to get drunk. Why? Because he said if Uriah gets drunk, he's going to go home and lie with his wife. And then I'll get out of all my problems. Why did David know that? Because he knows when a man gets drunk, those passions take over. And he will do things that he would not normally do. And Uriah was faithful to the king and faithful to the army. And he said, "I'm not going to go home while my lord Joab is out fighting a war. I'm going to stay here with the troops. You called me and I'll stay right here. I'll stay right by the king and I'll wait till you give me leave." Well, he knew that if he got him drunk, though, he'd probably change his mind. Well, he wasn't drunk enough. The point is that you see, though, is that drunkenness will lead to fornication. It'll lead to that. It just does. The Bible says you'll behold strange women. It's something you wouldn't normally do. Something a woman wouldn't normally do. But they'll do it. It's drunkenness. I wonder if these churches that are preaching, I wonder if these churches that are having breweries in their church, like Mars Hill and all those guys, Mark Driscoll and all those, I wonder if they're preaching on drunkenness. I wonder if they're preaching on that. It'd be kind of hard to do that when you have a brewery in your church, wouldn't it? Yeah, it'd be a little difficult, I suppose, wouldn't it? Yep. But you know, that's the spirit of today. Anything goes. Designer church, anything goes. You have to ask yourself a question. Why is that pastor so invested? Why is that pastor so invested in that? Why does he want people to be drunk in his church? Why does he want people to drink alcohol in his church? And by the way, it's not just one, it's many out there today that are doing these things. You can find them. They're out there. They're not shy about telling you what they're doing either. First Kings chapter 16 and verse number 9. His servant Zimri, captain of half of his chariots, conspired against him as he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tirzah. You know, this guy, he eventually turned against his own king. Why? He conspired against him. Why? He was drinking. I'm telling you, folks, you have to understand something. The Bible says that drinking perverts the judgment. It causes people to do things that they would not do normally. Yeah, you can ruin your whole life like that. You realize that? And others, that's right. See, that's another thing about drunkenness. The drunkard always believes that he only affects himself. He always believes that his life is the only one affected. When he spends all of his paycheck out drinking and he does all those things, he spends all of his money and everything else he has. I mean, I remember this with family members, not in my home, but when I was growing up, family members that, cousins and that they would be married to me. And these men would just, they would leave work and they would go out and they would go drinking as soon as they got off work, and they would drink up their paycheck. Yeah. I mean, they got to work because they don't provide for their family because they're drunk. They're spending it on booze all the time. They're spending it in a bar somewhere. They don't go home. They don't sleep in the same bed as their wife. Their children have no stability. They're never home. They're never there. This is not changed, folks. It's only gotten worse. But it ain't preached about that much. It's not really talked about a whole lot. Why? Well, because drinking, for the most part, has become socially acceptable. In church. In churches. Acceptable. Not something that needs to be repented of, but acceptable. You think about that. If the righteous feel that way, if the churches are like that, what do you think is going to happen in our country? What do you think is happening to our country? They're pushing that. And his servant, anyway, so 1 Kings 20, verse number 16, and they went out at noon, but Ben-Hadad, drinking himself drunk in the pavilions, he and the kings, the 32 kings that helped him. That's very interesting, that number right there, by the way. You can go home and look at that. But Ben-Hadad and 32 kings. That's 33 kings. And you study that 33, okay? That's an occult number, and it means something actually in the Bible. But those are 33 of those kings. Interesting. Anyway, Job chapter 12 and verse number 25. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. They grope in the dark without light. Have you ever noticed something? I've never really been to any well-lit taverns. I've never been to any well-lit taverns where there's like, boom! I mean, the lights are bright and everything. Why? Because men love darkness rather than light. And they grope in darkness when they're drunk. And they don't like the light. They don't want the light to shine. Because their deeds are evil. Yeah, taverns aren't really well lit, are they? So the Bible says, too, they grope in the dark without light and maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. Nothing more foolish than to watch some man that's drunk staggering down the road, or staggering in his own home, or staggering around. Sad, isn't it? In Psalm 69, verse number 12, they that sit in the gates speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. You know, it's interesting when you do a contrast. I've done this before for you. A few years ago, we talked about be not drunk with wine where there's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And just the similarities in being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit. How drunkards will sing When you're filled with the Spirit, you'll sing spiritual hymns and songs and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Looks like a drunkard does. You know, it's interesting because Bacchus is the god of dancing and wine. And that's in mythology. You'll see that and you'll see that in the cults, the god of wine and, you know, kind of partying and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so that all goes hand in hand. But, you know, yeah, well, we might talk about that a little bit more here. But anyway, the Song of Drunkards. Psalm 107, verse number 27. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. Just absolute embarrassing and foolishness, right? For the drunk, and let's see, Proverbs 23 and verse number 21, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and the drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. How many times have you seen that? The drunkard have no money. How many times have you seen a guy just trying to get enough money to buy a bottle out on the streets? Or work for everything they can just to get a bottle. Just to work for a day just to get drunk. I've seen that a lot. Or to get drugs. Work for a day somewhere. I used to do it. Not for alcohol, but for drugs. I'd go give some plasma to get some money. Amen. That's what it did. No money. Poverty comes. They reel to and fro. Proverbs 26 and verse number 9. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The drunkard's not paying attention to what he's doing. He just... How many foolish, stupid things happen when you're drunk? It's foolish. Accidents happen. That's why they crack down on so many drivers and so many other things like that, because there's so many people that get killed. Or at work, they drug test you and do things like that. Why? Because, man, people are operating machinery, or they're working on electricity, or something like that. They're roofing or something, man. They get fall off the roof, and I mean, you're working, you're doing, you know, whatever job it may be, whatever you're handling. I mean, man, you can't be drunk doing that. Somebody can get hurt. You want to know something that's really scary? Most of your politicians have contracts with beer distributors. Most of the congressional meetings and all those, and of alcohol distributors, where they serve alcohol at just about every single one of those. So do you realize that while this shutdown was going on, you can see this on the Drudge Report, these congressmen, they were partying while the government was shut down, and they're all getting drunk and at bars. And, you know, these are the people that are making decisions for your life. How encouraging is that to you that they are drunk? That they're a bunch of dirty, rotten drunkards. You say, well, maybe they only had like three of them. I don't want them making decisions for me on three beers. Not at all. Not at all. Do you? And then, by the way, exempting their own selves. I don't see any of them running forward to give up any of their benefits. Or pay. Few of them, maybe two or three, two that I've heard of. Ecclesiastes 10, verse number 17. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. Not for drunkenness. Isaiah chapter 19 and verse number 14. The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof. Now, you know, we don't have time to talk about that, but I want you to think about that, because I'm going to preach on that sometime. The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof. It means God did that. God mingled that spirit. And they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. There's another thing that comes with drinking. Vomiting. I mean, actually drinking that and vomiting on purpose, you know. Because you're drinking it, it makes you vomit. Yeah, it's poison, that's right, it is. Well, by the way, look, just out of curiosity, if you take too much medicine, it makes you vomit. That ought to give you some understanding of what alcohol was meant for. A medicine. Not administered by yourself, but administered by someone else. It was a medicine. Its use, there was a biblical use for it. And it was before we had all the things that we have right now, that we have all the medicines and all the other things that we have. It was used for that purpose. But if you take too much of any medicine, you'll vomit. Or you'll wish you vomited. Amen? Isaiah chapter 24 and verse number 20, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. To and fro like a drunkard. Isaiah 28 verse number 1, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is fading, is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim shall be trodden under feet. Isaiah 29 and verse number 9. Stay yourselves and wonder, cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. That's the attributes of a drunk. They stagger. They sway. Isaiah 49 and verse number 26. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken of their own blood, as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Drunken with their own blood. That's another type of drunkenness, but we don't have time to get into that tonight. Jeremiah 23 and verse number 9. Mine heart... mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man of whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord, and because of the words of His holiness. A drunken man. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man who is overcome with wine. You know, you always think that you can control something, and people don't realize that it's controlling them. That's the biggest thing about drug abuse, alcohol abuse, or anything else. They don't realize that it's actually controlling them. You're not controlling it. It's like saying I can hold on to a serpent and I can control it. I can control the amount of poison that I get from it. No, you can't. It'll take you just like it took every other good man down. And it'll ruin their lives. Every other woman down will ruin their lives. Not only your life, it'll ruin your children's life. Look, Noah thought, you know, hey, I'm just drunk. It's just me. And he cursed his grandson. So his grandson was cursed. Yeah, he did something wrong, but if Noah wasn't drunk, it wouldn't happen. Excuse me, Jeremiah chapter 25, verse number 27. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink ye and be drunken, and spew and fall and rise no more. What happens to a drunkard? They spew and they fall. Yep. They vomit and they fall. Can't hold themselves up, can't stand up. Jeremiah 48, verse number 26. Make ye him drunken, for he magnified himself against the Lord. Moab shall wallow in his vomit, and he also shall be in derision. He shall wallow in his vomit. You know, there's been a few people that have died like that. In their own vomit from being drunk. Lead singer of AC/DC. And he's famous for singing, "I'm on a highway to hell." He sure was. He sure was, and he choked on his own puke and died. Yeah, well, you know, his friends just stuck him in the back of a car somewhere and put a blanket over him and thought it, because he wouldn't get up. They tried to rouse him up, but he wouldn't get up. So they said, he just needs to sleep it off. So they threw a blanket over him, and he ended up choking on his own vomit. He's wallowing in his own vomit. Jeremiah 48. Lamentations 4:21. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, thou that dwellest in the land of Uz. The cup also shall pass through unto thee. Thou shalt be drunken and shalt make thyself naked. Same thing again. You see the principle there? You see how it keeps coming back to that? How God keeps... Well, you know, there's more in this Bible if you just read it. You can look around for everything else to read if you want to, but it's all right here. But he said it right there. He shows you every time, almost every time, that the two things just kind of come together: drunken and nakedness comes together. Yeah. Because why do you think what they call gentlemen's clubs? I'll put it that way to be as discreet as I possibly can be. Do you think that gentlemen's clubs? Do you think there's a reason why they have alcohol there? You think there's a reason why most of those ladies are on hardcore drugs and alcohol, and they have to be? You think there's a reason? Of course there is. The Bible just says it. It says it right there. That's why. Because you mix in drugs and alcohol, drunkenness, the nudity and nakedness follows. Ezekiel chapter 23 and verse number 23. Thou shalt be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, with the cup of astonishment and desolation, with the cup of thy sister Samaria. Drunkenness and sorrow go hand in hand. Drunkenness and sorrow. How many times have you ever seen a drunk crying in their beer? Sorrow. Their wife leaves them because they're tired of being beat by a drunk, or coming home and the guy's not there. He's not there to take care of his family. The wife's getting sick and tired of it. So she leaves him. That guy's found at the bar. What's he doing? He's drinking. Sitting there drinking. Crying. Drinking. Saying he wants to change it, but not doing anything about it. Just continuing on, doing the same thing over and over again. Same thing. Same thing. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. Same thing. Awake, Joel chapter 1, verse number 5. It might be a hard one for you to find on the quick here, but Joel chapter 1, verse number 5. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. Wake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl. Nahum chapter 1, verse number 10. For while they be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble fully dry. Nahum chapter 3, verse number 11. Thou also shalt be drunken, thou shalt be hid, thou also shalt seek strength because of the enemy. Habakkuk 2:15. Woe unto him. Now I want you to listen to this verse. I want you to turn there. Habakkuk 2:15. I want you to think about this, and when God pronounces a woe on something, that's not a good thing. It's a bad thing. It means judgment. Okay. So churches have breweries today. Yeah. Watch this. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. He says here, a woe upon you that give your neighbor drink. Think about that. Say, hey, you want a beer? So then I can't even fathom this part, a pastor looking at somebody and saying, hey, you want a beer? I don't even know where, the only place that comes from is the pit of hell. That's where that comes from. Because I can't imagine a man of God doing that. Yeah. Handing it and saying, hey, you want a beer? I mean, I rode in at a funeral. I rode in with a group of pastors, and I could swear they were going to nightclubs or something. I mean, they weren't Baptists, they were Lutherans, and they were all talking about all these places they've been and everything. I'm just sitting there. And they're talking about these restaurants and stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, these guys are talking about drinking is what they're really eating and drinking and doing all this. And that's kind of what I think that they were kind of getting at, what they do, because they don't see anything wrong with drinking. They're fine with it. Right, they just have one or two and they can control themselves. But the Bible says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, comma. That comma's in there for a reason. That puttest thy bottle to him, comma, and makest him drunken also, comma, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. So there's a purpose to this. You see this again, nakedness. You see it again over and over and over. You see it. And the Bible is saying that, you're saying that there's a plot there that sometimes, yeah, guys like to do that to women. Normal thing women would not do if they're not drunk. But if they're drunk, they'll do things that they would never think about doing. They wouldn't. And guys know that. And they know they can get what they want if they do that. So they encourage that and they push that. And it works. So, that's why, by God's grace, no man that's a drinker will ever come anywhere near my daughters. Amen. Well, he's just a casual drinker. Well, he can casually do it down the road. Nope. I don't believe in casual drinking. I don't think God does either. This is a woe that's pronounced on that, of you giving your neighbor drink. I think that's something we ought to pay attention to, don't you? Luke 21, verse number 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. You know why? Because when you're drunk, you're not paying attention to what's going on. You don't even know what. I know people that have been in 2 or 3 day drunken stupors. They don't even know what's going on with their family. Kids have birthdays. Things go by. Bills are due. Nothing's getting paid. They promise their children they're going to do things and they ignore them. They don't come around. They're not home. Their wife sits there by herself crying, trying to figure out how she's going to have enough money to buy some food for their kids. Yeah. But yet you have pastors that are having breweries and churches encouraging drunkenness. Oh, they're not encouraging drunkenness. Yeah, they are. Sure they are. That's why they have a brewery there. Yeah. How many messages are you going to hear against drunkenness? Not very many. In this new age. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. God's people are not to walk in drunkenness, supposed to walk in honesty. Supposed to walk honestly, to walk in drunkenness. not to have any fellowship with it, but reprove it. 1 Corinthians 5:11. We talked about this on Sunday night or Sunday afternoon before we baptized Brother Samuel here. 1 Corinthians 5:11. But now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, which such a one know not to eat, lest they repent. 1 Corinthians 6:10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Sounds like to me that there's a lot of pastors out there that are not preaching against drunkenness, not preaching against drunkards, actually drinking themselves and encouraging people to drink. They're helping, they're paving the way to hell for those folks. Hey, I didn't pronounce the woe on them. God did. Don't blame me. Blame God. I really want you to. I want you to point your finger up to heaven right now, and I want you to blame God for pronouncing a woe upon them. Next time you think this, the preaching's too hard like that, on something like that. I'm not the one that said it. God did. He said it. Amen. Think about it. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 21. You know, I find this fascinating right here in these works of the flesh, where he puts this at. My goodness, it's in pretty close territory to a few others here. He says, envyings, murders, drunkenness. It's pretty high up on the list, isn't it? Revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What is he saying there? Is he saying somebody that takes a drink can't be saved? No, he's saying that somebody that doesn't repent and get born again, they're going to die and go to hell. A drunkard. The man that convinces himself that his drinking is okay and it's not a sin to drink and get drunk, doesn't repent of it, he's probably not God's. Because God isn't going to leave you thinking it's okay to be a drunkard. Because he says it all over the scriptures. If you have people that can't understand that, then you've got to question whether those people even understand salvation, they understand the plain word of the plain word of God that says it right here. Amen. Pretty plain, pretty simple, pretty easy to understand. Not hard to understand. Very simple. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's the easy one, right? Be not drunk with wine. 1 Thessalonians 5:7. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. Now that's when happy hour starts, right? So they all start getting drunk. When do they do it? When it's dark, when they go back to their cave, or they go to a bar, which is like a little cave, tavern. They get drunk. That's what they do. In the dark, in the night, that's when they do it. Why? Easier. You know, it's shameful. They're not proud of it. They're not. Most of them aren't proud of it. Most of them are not proud at all of that. Revelation 17:2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. It's interesting those two are together. Now that's speaking of something a little different, but the symptoms are the same. Spiritually, they are drunk. Babylon will spiritually have everyone drunk at the end times. They will be drunk with the wine of the fornication. They'll be drunk with it. They'll be spiritually drunk and adulterers. Spiritual adulterers. All right. And we're going to close out with Proverbs chapter 23, if you would please. And we'll close out here tonight on this. Proverbs 23 on drunkenness. Proverbs 23 and verse number 29. We might even expound on this on Sunday a little bit, but we're just going to read this to finish it off. I want you to get in the mindset of understanding this before we tackle this on Sunday, that God forbids drunkenness. Then we're going to look at wine and in the Bible and a few of those other things. We're going to look at those on Sunday. Proverbs 23 and verse number 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Anybody ever, I mean, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but I want you to think about this. Anybody ever been drunk before? When you start to look at all these things, you know that, oh yeah, 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 I did that. Yeah, I did that. I did that. I had redness of eyes. I had sorrow. I had contentions. How many fights get started with drinking? How many marriages go because of drinking? How many people get those beer guts? You know, they get, and I don't mean gut right here. I mean they think they got big beer muscles, right? Right? I mean littlest guy, man. You give him some beer and that guy's ready to just fight. Why? He's contentious. Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Right? Who hath wounds without cause? I mean, you wake up, you're like, what in the world is, what did I do? What in the world did I do last night? What happened to me? Who hath redness of eyes? He's going to tell you who. Right here. He says, they that tarry long at the wine, and they that go to seek mixed wine. That's who. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent. Sure does. Oh, but you can control it. You can control a serpent, a biting serpent. And stingeth like an adder. Yep. What else happens? Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Mm-hmm. Yep. Something you wouldn't do if you weren't drunk. Something you would not do, or a woman would not do, in a position of sin like that, would not do if they weren't drunk. They weren't tarrying at the wine. Now, folks, this is talking about wine. This ain't even talking about what's sold today. It's 10 times worse today. Vodka and whiskey and Everclear and all those other drinks that are out there, way worse today. Way more potent. Way stronger today. They that seek mixed wine. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. That's what the drunkard does. Their eyes behold strange women. And thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yep. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. If you've ever sinned like that, then you understand. I mean, you can't argue with that because you know it's true. What that does to your heart and your mind, it's just downright dirty. It's just absolutely dirty. The thoughts, the wickedness of the thoughts and the heart, it gets bad. It's real bad. Things that you wouldn't normally think. Things that you wouldn't normally act upon. But thine heart shall utter perverse things. Means you behold a strange woman and you talk in a wicked way that you shouldn't. Happens. How many times have you seen that where somebody's drunk and the guy's got a bouncer has to come in and, you know, hopefully some of you haven't seen it, but I'm just, it's reality. The bouncer has to come. Why do you think bars hire bouncers? There's a reason for it. Right? Why? Because the contentions. belligerent because there's men that say things to women and things that get started and they utter perverse things and they say dirty, rotten things to women. Yeah. Yeah. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. No stability. Just waving. To and fro, right? They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. How many times somebody wake up and they're drunk and they're just getting beat down? They wake up the next morning, it's like, oh man, you know, that was terrible. Right? They wake up in jail or in a hospital bed somewhere. Wake up with a bottle to the side of their head somewhere. Wake up to a bottle on the side of their back, their head somewhere, sewn up in a hospital like this. They wake up in the morning. It's like, what happened to me? That's what he's saying. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? They sleep it off. I'll sleep it off. Slothfulness, just sleep it off. Wait till it goes away. This last part is the most fascinating part of it all, really, though. I will seek it yet again. You know how many people I've seen for years go through that same circle of drunkenness, of abuse, of beating, of sleeping it off, of getting hurt, getting damaged, destroying their body, losing everything. I will seek it yet again. I will seek it yet again. I will seek it yet again. Folks, there's nothing new. The Bible has the answer. It's not in AA. It's not in... The Bible has the answer for drunkenness. The answer is, be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The answer is Jesus Christ saving your soul and changing you. Does it mean that someone may not fall sometime or may not have to get right with God just like any of us do on certain things? But it means that I know that it's sin and I have to answer for it. I know that I have to get it right and I have to repent of it and I have to get things right with God. I do not believe this New Age gospel that is preached today that leaves a man a drunkard with no power over sin. I don't believe it. You ask why? Well, because I was that drinker and that druggie and that fornicator. And I didn't stop by my own power. I didn't change me to make me do that. I didn't do that. I couldn't do that. I wanted to do it sometimes. But you know what? I wanted my sin even more. I wanted my sin even more than I wanted him, though. I wanted my sin. I loved it. I loved it. I wanted it. I wanted it more than I did to be healed. And then one day God showed me by his grace, you're a lost, wicked sinner. You're going to die and go to hell. Because, you know, I said, you know, I'm going to church. I'm doing all these things. And why did I just go out and get drunk? Why did I do that? Why did I never have any victory? I don't mean I lived right for a long time and then messed up. I mean, I just didn't have any victory. Why? Why? It's because I couldn't change my nature. You can't change a pig. You can't make him clean. Only God can give him a new nature. Amen. There's so many people trying to reform people out there today. You can't reform somebody. They need regenerated. They need the Spirit of God inside of them to change them. You can't do it through programs and methods and it's not going to work. A drunkard only gets changed when Jesus Christ saves his soul and changes and makes him new. then he's not controlled by it anymore. He's not controlled by those things any longer. Oh, there's things that'll creep up and you have to repent of. We're not preaching sinlessness. We understand we're wicked as the devil. But what we are saying is that God will save a drunkard and he'll change him. He'll make him a new creature. And he'll take that desire to be a drunkard away. And going back to it and flirting with it will only cause you conviction. And it won't feel like it did before. It won't feel good anymore when you sin. It'll feel rotten. And you'll loathe it and you'll hate it. And you'll beg God for victory over it and he'll give it to you. But only Jesus can change him. And I guess, you know, I'm preaching this because I feel bad because we have a generation of kids that all they know is drunkenness, drugs, and fornication, and that's all they know. Their parents are doing it. Their churches are doing it. They're not coming out preaching against this stuff any longer. Many of them, they're not. And we're raising a generation of kids that do that which is right in their own eyes. And now they're 30 years old and they're pastoring churches themselves. And they've done what was right in their own eyes. They're casual drinkers that lead into deeper sin than that. I'm going to tell you something right now. Don't you ever kid yourself. You will not hear from God when you're drinking. You're not going to hear from Him. You don't tell me you're close to God when you're drinking booze. That's right. That is why they call it spirits. By the way, just so you know, witches and warlocks and all of them use alcohol and drugs. They use it to conjure up spirits. Not Ibn Abihu, it said that they offered a strange fire, but also God laid a warning down right after that, not to, as priests and as prophets, not to come to the temple drunk, not to come to worship God in drunkenness. Now, doesn't it surprise you that churches have breweries now? That's right. They traded the Bible for some entertainment and some fun. But, you know, if that's where you want to be, then God will let you be there. But I'll tell you something. Drunkenness is nothing to play with, and God hates it. And God pronounces a woe on that person that gives his neighbor a drink. Pronounces a woe on him. I wouldn't want God pronouncing a woe on me. I wouldn't want to be that man. I wouldn't want to be these pastors that the Bible calls their dumb dogs that don't bark. They're lazy watchmen and they're blind watchmen and dumb dogs that don't bark. What is he saying? They don't warn. They turn a blind eye and they don't warn. They're dumb dogs that don't bark when trouble's there. Yeah, that's right. Good for nothing. That's what God says too. We'll talk about that maybe on Sunday as far as the wine and the liquor goes and the warning that comes with it. Let's pray. Father,